You know, it was in 2009 that we had a ministry in the inner city, my wife and myself, and she didn't even know. See, man, I teach you a little something. Don't tell her everything. When it comes to certain issues I'm talking about. And we we started to minister in our living room with Deke. Stand up, Deke. Stand up, Deke. We started to ministry in Kim's living room with Deke, my grandmother, and her friend of 50 years. Two old ladies and this man right there. And look what God has done. But anyway, all those who know the Nazarene Church, Pastor David Troffer, Pop and Mom Ortman know him. But a friend of mine had seen, I was bringing these dancers from South Africa, and a friend of mine had seen it in the paper. They did this big article. So he asked me if I would come and preach at his church. So the pastor called me, David Troffer. He said, no, I don't want you to come and give your testimony. I want you to preach. I said, that's what I do. It's part of my testimony. So I went over there and I preached, and they asked me to come back like two or three times. And then I didn't hear from them for like a month. And then he called me and said, Pastor, could you do me a favor? He said, I got to run out of town. He said, will you come and, you know, preach for my church? I said, yeah, no problem. And I told the church, I said, your pastor, I said, he's awful bold. He don't even know who I am, and he going to let me preach in the church. I said, he can come back and, oh, you'll all be crazy when he gets back. I said, but then I didn't hear from him for about another month. And then one Tuesday morning, one of the deacons called me up and he said to me, he said, hey, listen, he said, we've been praying. And he said, the Spirit of the Lord said, give you the keys to the church and to the fellowship hall. Do you hear what I said? Give me the keys. I didn't pay no rent. All we paid was lights and heat. Amen? But the time come that Pastor Troffer, he retired and moved down to North Carolina and stuff. And then the business guys from Long Island came up from the Nazarene organization. Me and the guy had a conversation. He said to me, he said, hey, listen, buddy, I know that deal that you made. He said, we can't do that no more. So I said, fine. So he said, listen, he said, you got 6 months, okay, to find a place to go. He said, because I don't care if you're a pastor of 5,000, he says, I'm going to respect what you're doing. So that's what I did not tell my wife. No, nobody knew. I didn't tell anybody. But the amazing thing how God is for the first time, we're getting ready to do a 21-day fast. All right? For the first time, the whole church said, okay, pastor, we're going to get with you. I knew that was God. All right? We go fast with you, whatever we had to fast. I didn't know that. This church was fasting for 21 days. And then somebody had called me and asked me about, because they was having, Roy Fields was here, this revival had broken out. And they had, somebody had called me and said, they're having a revival, you should go. I said, I can't go. Then Bishop Cordell called me on the Friday. You know when the bishop calls you, okay? He said, brother, have you been out there? I said, no. He said, you need to make it away. And at that time, Kiana was in high school, and she was playing Newburgh, so I had to go down there to Newburgh. But I came out here on that Saturday, and it was the first day that the Lord said, this is it, all right? And I told them that God has taken us to a new place, amen? And so it's been just a love relationship. I thank God for my brother, Josh, because he is my brother, all right? His name is Joshua, and I am his Caleb, all right? So if you mess with my dog here, you got to fight with me too, all right? But I just love him. I love the family. I love the pastoral team that we have here. It's such a wonderful thing to be in the house of the Lord where we truly see each other as the Bible sees each other, through the Spirit, not through color, not through gender, not through nationality, not through anything else, but that we are all brothers and sisters because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? And I'm just so, you know, I'm just so grateful and thankful. My heart is just full today, so I just had to get that little holler out, okay? And I had to get it out because I have been excited about what God's about to do in this church, and I pray that all of you should be prayerful and be mindful of the things of God and ask God, where's my position, God? Where do I need to be? You have brought me to this place. There's no accident that you're here, okay? Anybody that's in this building and claims that King Fire is your church, it's no accident that you're here. Because your skill set and the talents that you have is going to help advance the kingdom of God for this area, but not just for us, but for the generations of children that are downstairs praising God right now. That they will say that my parents, my grandparents got a vision from God to do things that nobody else would do. You know how many people think that we're crazy? That we got 80 acres and we're going to build a church? When everybody else's churches are either, people are not attending no more and doing all this. And it's amazing because I go to the Uptown Grill for breakfast a lot. I was just yesterday with Nick Akins. And I was eating breakfast one morning. And I was asking the waitress, I said, where is my check? She said, well, the guy over there paid for it. So I looked over there. It was the superintendent for the town of Ulster, James Quigley. Me and him went to Catholic school together. Okay? So when I went over to him to shake his hand, I said, James, thanks, you know, for, you know, buying me breakfast. And he said, hey, listen, I heard you got that property. And he says, that's a great undertaking. I said, yeah, but we're just the guys to do it. See, because it doesn't matter what God places in front of us, you got to speak faith. You got to speak, because I'm going to be speaking today about the vision of God. All right? The vision of God. Because God is the greatest visionary ever. God had a plan for man and for mankind. And we have great visionaries in this earth with economics and all this and for nations and all that. But God got a vision for the whole world. All right? They just do it for a particular people or a particular group, but God has everybody included. So we're going to go to Joshua. Joshua 1. All right? Because I want you to understand something about vision. All right? Vision expects something. When you get a vision from God, you need to expect something going to happen in your life. All right? Vision also anticipates. Let this be a year of anticipation for your life, for your family, for your children, all right? Because I'm going to speak to somebody right now. That wayward child that you've been staying up all night and praying for, guess what? They's about to come back. They's a comeback, all right? They're about to wake up in their hog pen and realize I need to get back to the place where I need to be. But the thing of it is, as the church, when they come in smelling like pigs, are we still going to be able to embrace them? Don't ever forget where God pulled you up out of. Because all of us got a story to tell, all right? Whether you like it or not. But this story here just captured me when Josh texted me and said, hey, bro, I would want you to speak, you know, this Sunday about a vision, all right? Something towards that. And I immediately went and God just dropped this in my spirit about Joshua. Because you have to understand, this is a crossing over. This is about going to the place that God had promised. And we just crossed over to a new year, a place that God has promised. For some, my cousin's sitting right there. He was up in the hospital about 3 weeks ago. They said he was going to die and everything else. Promise. Because he's part of the promise. See, when the doctors cancel you out, God still says yes. See, it doesn't matter what man says. What is God saying? And so Joshua, who is a great leader, a great warrior, God knew exactly what he was getting. I always say that to you. God knew exactly what he was getting the day you said yes to Jesus. No matter what you do, whether it's in line with God or out of line with God, it does not shake him. Because he knew exactly what's inside of you. Sin. He knew exactly how to get it out. And he knows exactly how to sanctify your life so you look, walk, and talk just like Jesus. But you got to stay on the path. So here's this great leader. All right. And the first thing he says to him, this was after the death of Moses. Joshua chapter 1. And we're going to go 1 through 9 as quick as I can about what God has given me as far as vision. All right. And this is for everybody, because Proverbs 29 and 18 said, where there is no vision, the people perish. See, if you don't have a vision for your life, things around you are going to soon start dying. If you don't have a vision for your marriage, things are going to get real tight up in your house. All right? If you don't have a vision for your children, things are going to get upset. If you don't have a vision for your money, things are going to start to deteriorate. You need to have a vision for what God has given you. We are the stewards. It all belongs to Him. The Bible says the earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell within. It all belongs to God. No matter how cute you think you are with your education, your BMW, and your four-bedroom house and three bedrooms, and you only got one tail, but do you understand what I'm saying? No matter how cute you think you are, remember one thing, it all came from Him. And it's up to me to maintain it, to take care of it, that He gets the glory. He said, let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. But here comes God speaking to Joshua, who was a warrior, who had a relationship with God, who was a fighter. At one time that was in the valley fighting and looked up and said, God, if you let the sun stand still, I will defeat these enemies. And God honored his request. So God knew that I was getting a man that has relationship with me. I'm getting a man that understand what vision is, understand what purpose is. And if you understand this about Joshua, the promise about going into the promised land, he and Caleb were the two of the 12 that went in. But they're the only two of the 12 that said, we can do this. See, the other 10 made 2 million other people miss their promise. God ain't always in the crowd. You can't listen to the crowd. See, we're crowd-orientated. We go to football games, basketball games, baseball games, soccer games, everybody hollering. As soon as somebody says, yeah, this is the way we're supposed to be doing, we jump right on board. Jesus was never interested in the crowd. Jesus put the crowd out. When it came to raising the dead and other things, Jesus put them out because he knew faith was not there. And you have to understand, if you're going to be a person of vision, you're going to have to be a person of faith. Amen? Amen? Said, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, all right, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, please understand that. Moses was on the mountain watching the children of Israel go into, okay? They didn't know what happened to Moses. He's just letting them know. FYI, Moses is dead, you're in charge. Okay? Because that's the way God rolls. He don't need no board. He don't need the deacon board, the trustee board, all this other board to say it's okay for him to be God. See, God is God. All right? And when he says you're it, you it. Okay? When God chooses you, you're it. Jesus said in John 15, you didn't choose me, I chose you. See, sometimes we think that God is like Santa Claus because we just had, you know, Christmas. And we give them this little wish list, I wish he'd do this, I wish he'd do that. He said, that's nice, but you're going to do this. Okay? You can wish all you want, but here's the plan. Why? Because he says in Jeremiah 29:11, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Plans of good and not of evil. Plans to give you a hope and plans to give you a future. I care what anybody else is saying to you. You better listen to what God is saying to you. So he says here, he said, my servant Moses is dead. Therefore, okay? Now shockwaves must have hit Joshua because this was his man. Joshua was able to be up in the mountain when Moses got the Ten Commandments. Joshua was able to go to places where other people couldn't go. He was an entrusted servant to the man of God. Okay, and I try to do my best to be a trusted servant to this man of God. Why? Because I was an armor bearer to my pastor, which means I look out for his needs, no matter what they may be. But all of us are armor bearers that need to be looking out for his needs. So he says this. He says, now, therefore, now that I hit you in the face, your boy is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, you and all this people in the land which I am giving them. All right? I'm giving it to you. God's a giver. God so loved the world that what he did, he gave his only begotten, right? Now listen to what he says to him. That every place that the sole of your feet will tread upon, I have given you. Is that the way? Is that the vision for your life? Are you looking for a job? Okay? Before you put the application in, go walk through the building. God said every place you plant the sole of your feet is yours. See, vision. God's vision for your life is wherever you place these feet, it belongs to you. But then you got to have faith to put the application in, okay? But he goes on to say that from the wilderness of this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea, towards the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. Listen, he said, and no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. And as I was with Moses, so will I be with you. I will not leave you, or I not forsake you. Because God knew the pronouncement that he just gave him is going to cause fear to come into his heart. But see, when you got a vision, see, I was just talking to little Nick yesterday, and I was telling him the one thing that stops people from doing what God has called us to do is the fear of something that's new that we never did before. It's the fear of failing. Just because you fail doesn't mean that it's over. It's only over if you stop trying. And God knew, okay, because he had told them way back that there's enemies in this land that kill their children. Don't get hooked up with them. They're idol worshipers and everything else. And Joshua had seen the rebellion of Israel through all of this when he was with Moses. And now, God, you want me to take all these crazy people across? Because they were acting crazy. They call them stiff neck and everything else. Read your Bible. Okay? But what he did was he encouraged Joshua. He let him know that in this quest, you're going to be invincible. You're going to be invincible. Even though you're going to come up against things that there's no man that shall stand before you all the days of your life. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Verse 6 says, but be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide the inheritance of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Again, only be strong and very courageous, that you may do and observe to do all according to the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper. Verse 8, this book of the law. See, people don't like law because it got restraints on it. But in the Bible, the law means teaching and instruction. The book of teaching and instruction shall not depart from your mouth. See, vision speaks. If you're going to be a person of vision, you need to speak exactly what you see. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. Paul said we believe, so we speak. Because death and life is in the power of your tongue. And every time you open up your mouth, you're either turning on the death cycle or you're turning on the life cycle. Look at your life, think about your words, and the reason why you're in the mess you're in is because of right here. And that's what God wanted Joshua to understand. I know who you are. I called you to this position, but I want you to understand when things get crazy, you need to speak. You hear that, homeboy? When they get crazy and things get crazy, speak. Because you have the authority to speak. See, the problem with the body of Christ, everybody's your pastor until we got to bring correction into your life, and then you got a problem. But if you going where we're going, we're going to speak into your life. Okay? So you got to make a decision where you're going, because the train has already pulled out the station, because we're already up on the hill, baby. All right? The thing of it is, are you going to buy the ticket to get on board? So he said to him, because it's about a vision. But listen where it's coming from. He said, don't turn to the left. Don't turn to the right, that you may prosper wherever you go. God's about prosperity. It's not just about the methods of prosperity that some people use to get there. All right? Don't ever think, listen to them preaching, God ain't about money. Yes, he is. Jesus spoke more about money than he did about anything else. Read the New Testament. Well, listen to what he says. He says, the book of this law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do all. Okay? Not just some, not just part. See, because when God gives you a vision, the whole thing's in the package. Okay, when he sent Jesus, everything we need, our salvation, our sanctification, our healing, our deliverance, it's all in Jesus. It's the same thing. Joshua's name means the Lord of salvation. Joshua is just a type of Christ. The Old Testament is Christ concealed. The New Testament is just Christ revealed. All right? So you're seeing the type of Christ being played out here, okay? But you may observe and do all that is written for then, which means at that time or shortly after, you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage, and do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Wherever you go, Church of the Living God, the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. On the job, in the bank, in the darkness, in the light, God is with you wherever you go. And that's what we have to understand. Vision is something that you gaze at. See, God gave Joshua a vision. He gave him something to look at. He gave him something that he would focus on. All right? A vision is also to discern clearly. When God gives you a vision, you need to get before God and make sure before you step out into this thing, all right, that it's clearly coming from God. Amen? And also, vision means to perceive. It means to take heed. All right? Psalms 119 and 9 says, how can a young man or woman keep his life pure? By heeding to the word of God. What does the word of God say about your purity? So he's telling Joshua that what you're going to have to see. Because what you have to understand is that whenever God does something new, there's always an announcement. There's always an announcement when God is going to do something new. Here's Joshua. When it came to Jesus, there was an announcement. The angel showed up. The angel showed up to Mary. Okay? Now remember what he said, that you do everything what? According to what? According to the word. John said in the beginning was the word. The word was with God and the word was God. All right? The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. All right? Your word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto your path. Correct? So you have to understand how important the word is in your life. Listen, the announcement when the angel come and she said, behold. All right, in Luke 1, you ain't got to turn there. All right? It says, and having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one, for the Lord is with you and you are blessed among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at this saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb. You will conceive. See, when God speaks, he tells it just like it is. You will. There ain't no maybe. You will. There ain't no can be. No, you will. Why? Because you're in favor. Do you realize the favor of God is going to get you in places that your education, your political ties, and everything else can't do nothing for you? Why? Because it's his favor. It's his grace upon your life. And that's what we have to understand. If we're going to walk in the newness of life, if we're going to walk into the place that God wants us to do, when we start building in March or April, because as soon as that snow is gone, the trees are coming down, the rocks are getting out of the way, and King's Fire is going to start doing what we said we was going to do. Because God said we will do it. All right? This is his plan. This ain't our plan. It wasn't the pastoral team that sat around and said, hey, you know what? I got a good idea. Why don't we just do this? Why don't we just go buy 80 acres with less than no money or do whatever and just build a church? That's a bad idea. Okay? He said that you will conceive and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and we be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him a throne of his father's David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, all right? See, when God speaks to you, it's okay to speak back to him, all right? Because she said to him, Okay? Mary said to the angel, how can this be since I don't know no man? See, Mary said, listen, I know exactly how this baby thing works, okay? I ain't foreign to this. I know exactly how this thing works, but listen, it ain't happened, okay? So how is this thing going to happen? See, because God calls us into a place where our natural things are not going to work. Our education ain't going to work. Our natural abilities to stick and move and do all that manipulation that we've been doing, it ain't work no more, okay? And his disciples proved that, because when Jesus said, follow me, they immediately took their nets and they threw them down, because they knew what God was calling them to do, they are no longer going to need that. And that's what you got to understand. You no longer need all that other stuff that used to prop you up and make you feel good about yourself, because I got a better plan for you. But it takes you receiving the vision that I'm speaking into your life. Because without me, it's not going to happen. That's what Jesus said in John 15:5. He said, without me, this ain't going to happen. I'm the vine, you're the branches. You're going to have to draw off of me in order to do what I'm asking you to do. See, that's what vision does. God's vision puts you in a place where you cannot pull off of anything else but God. Your friends can't help you. Your family can't help you. All that other stuff. The only thing that's going to help you is God. And that's what God was telling Joshua. The only thing that's going to help you is you staying in that word. Each and every day. Because we're so hooked on television. It's telling a vision. It's telling someone else's vision. It's not telling God's vision. It's telling about anxiety and fear and desperateness and hopelessness. Joshua and them was desperate and hopeless. You're going into a land filled with a whole bunch of people and they're giants. Okay? They're giants. You think they wasn't fearful? Of course they were. But God said, guess what? I'm going to be with you. You could do this. Okay? You could do this. And as leaders, that's what we're going to tell you. You could do that. Yeah, you might come whining, might come crying. We're going to listen to you then say, and... Okay, after all that, we're going to say, and. Okay, that's nice. You could do this. So you need somebody that's going to speak life into you. You need somebody that's going to say, hey, listen, okay? That's nice. Let me give you this flower. You can water this. Here you go. And then when you get finished watering that, get back out there and do what you're supposed to do. Because that's exactly what God told Joshua. Okay? But please understand one thing. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to empower you. I'm going to be the one that fills you with supernatural strength to do the things you thought you could never do in your life. To speak to people. Listen, I just started back in the Carpenters Union in May, all right, of 2016, working at Kingston High School. My boss. Okay? The guy I was working with, I'm working for Gerson, who is the GC, which means that he hires all the subs. All right? I heard the guys talking. I didn't hear him talking. And the superintendent said to me, I said, where's Pat? He said, he has problems. I don't know if he'll ever be back. See, I'm talking about authority and vision. Because you have to understand, if I was created in an image and likeness of God, and he gave me the dominion over the works of his hand, that means he gave me authority. He gave me authority to speak into people's lives, into people's situations, and to bring change. So my boss, his granddaughter, okay? So he got a call. His granddaughter, she's 7 months old, have a big tumor on her spine. All right? And they're going to have to operate. And I'm talking to him. He looks at me. He says, well, I said, Pat, what's up? He's telling me. He goes, well, he said, we're just hoping for the best. And I looked at him. I said, hoping for the best? I said, are you crazy? I said, you're talking about your granddaughter. Now, this is my boss. He can fire me. All right? I looked at him. I said, are you crazy? I said, this is your granddaughter. This is the little girl that you haven't walked with her or held her hand or ever said, Grandpa, take me to the store. I said, and that's... all can come out of your mouth? I said, Pat, hold on, wait a minute. Stay right there. I got my phone. King's Fire office. Here's the situation, circumstances. Prayer warriors, go at it. All right? 2 days later, here come the boss. Pat, how's your grand doing? I don't believe it, Donald. It's unbelievable. She went through the operation 7 months old. She's smiling. Yeah, okay? Hey, but that ain't it. It gets better. It gets better. Why? Because 2 weeks later, he comes out the trailer, and me and this guy are doing something. He said, comes over, he says, Don, he said, I'm going to need you again. I said, what's up, Pat? He said, I just got a phone call. He said, my granddaughter, they said that she's leaking fluid from her brain. They don't expect her to live and all that. Stay there, Pat. King's Fire Office? Pat, how's your granddaughter, Pat? It's a miracle. It's a miracle. Everything done stopped. Everything done stopped. See, and then he came to me just a few weeks ago because he's a hunter and said, Donald, I need you again. I said, what's up, Pat? He said, I just shot this trophy deer, but he got away from me. Could you pray, please, that I find it? Now, see, that might sound silly, but see, now that job knows that there's a man of God on the job. And when they have a problem that they can't handle, they know who to come to. And see, that's for all of us. That's for all of us. Yeah, they cuss and scream and play that kill your mama music, I call it. Because it's, you know, that music's so crazy that after this, go home and kill your mama, right? And they just look at me like, it's wild. But you know what? If you just be a Christian, here's what I do. This guy that takes break with me, he listens to his radio on his phone and everything. But you know what? Every time we take break, I reach into my lunchbox, okay? And I pull out Oswald Chambers, My Utmost for His Highest. Why? Because every place I plant the sole of my feet, it belongs to me. I don't care what's going on with them. This belongs to me. I'm taking authority of Kingston High School. And if I want to read my word, I'm going to read my word. And you're going to turn that box off. I didn't ask him. He said, I'll turn it off, Donald. But you know what's happening now? You know what's happening now? The guys on the job know I'm a pastor. I brought a fruit basket that Kim had to the job. And they thought they were bringing it for the boss. And the guy said, oh, you sucking up to the boss? I said, no, that ain't for the boss. I said, this is for you. And he just looked at me like, I said, this is for you. And I say that because it ain't about me. It's about the vision that God gives you. Do you understand that? The vision that you have authority in this earth. And the only way the world's going to know that God is for real is we start living like God is for real. That's what 2017 is all about. It's about getting out of self and allowing God to work through you. That's why Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live for him who loved me and gave himself for me. All right, Romans 5 and 8 said that God demonstrated his love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ went to the cross for us. You didn't have your mind on God, but he had his mind on you. God had a vision to bring you up out of that mess. But the thing of it is, you have to understand. I took psychology in high school, conditioning. You could be conditioning to hurt and pain and never step away from it. You know it's wrong, but because you have conditioned yourself to stay in that position, you'll never come out of it. And that's with debt, and that's with anything else. He said, if you meditate on my word, you're going to be prosperous. He didn't say with Capital One and the rest of them sending you pre-approved cards, you just go for them. He said, meditate my word, and you're going to become prosperous. See, we're talking about vision. God's a visionary. He's speaking. You understand? He's speaking. It's going to happen, but you're going to have to fight. There's giants in the land. You understand that? You're going to have to fight. If you are going to possess, if we're going to possess that land, we're going to have to fight. We're going to have to fight the natural stuff, the trees, the rocks, and everything else. It's a mountain. Do you understand that? It's a mountain. Okay? It's a mountain. And I'm getting ready to close because I just want to show you something else, which the Lord showed me. Everybody around, everybody in this church needs to get somebody. You're only going to be as strong as the people that you surround yourself with. Did you hear what I said? You're only going to be strong as the people that you surround yourself with. Like I told you, his right-hand man was who? Caleb, right? They were the only two that could see what God sees. Everybody's not going to see what you see, and that's cool, okay? But they were the only two that said you could do it. But what I like is this guy, Caleb, because that's who I model myself after. All right? Because, see, one thing of it is, on that job, listen, God took me back into Carpenters Union. Most of the guys I was working with, they're all retired. Okay? I'm getting ready to be 61 in March. They hooked me up with this partner. This boy is 37 years old. He said to me one day, he said, Donald, let me ask you a question. I said, what's that? He said, if I bring kryptonite in the morning, will that slow you down? Because this is the temple of the Holy Ghost. It's my responsibility to take care of it. It's my responsibility to feed it. It's my responsibility to exercise and work out even when I don't feel like it. So you can't blame God for your health issues if you don't take care of what he's given you. The temple he gave you is pure. It's up to you to keep it up. And the church said, yeah. Nah. But listen to what he says here. This is Caleb. All right? This is Caleb, Joshua's right-hand man. It said in chapter 14 of Joshua. It said, then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, you know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me at Kadesh Barnea. He's bringing to mind what has been spoken over his life. What did God say? What's the last word you heard from God spoken over your life? It's going to come to pass. It's going to come to pass. Listen what he goes on to say. Verse 7, he says, I was 40 when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land and brought back the word to him as it was in my heart. Strength. I was in my heart. I don't care about the giants. God, you said it's mine. I'm going to get it. I don't care if there's giants in the land. I don't care if there's an army of the land. That belongs to me. See, somebody need to go into the enemy's camp and take back what he stole from you. Okay? Because that's what these boys did. All right? But listen, he said, nevertheless, my brethren, who went up with me and made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord God. See, you got to make a decision in your life. Who's the God of your life? When Elijah was standing up there on that mountain, he told them, listen, how long are you going to waver in between two opinions? Either God is God or Balaam is God. So you got to make a choice. Who's the God of your life? See, because most people in this day and age think that the next man that comes in your life is going to be the answer. No, he ain't. Or the next woman that comes into my life. No, she ain't. Or the next job, or the next this, or the next that. Instead of keeping your focus on God and wholly following him. 40 years, he said. He said, I followed the Lord my whole heart. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive. And he has said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness, now I am here this day at 85 years old. And yet I am as strong as the day on that day that Moses sent me. And just as my strength was then, so it is now my strength for war. You're going to have to battle for what you want. He said, the strength that God gives me, he said, it's for war. I was next to Joshua when we were battling all them times. And it's been 45 years. And guess what? I'm still just as healthy as I've been. I'm still just as mindful as I've been. But I know it's for war, for both going out and for coming in. And here's the thing, verse 12. Now, therefore, give me this mountain which the Lord has spoken. Joshua said, Caleb said, I heard what God said. I heard exactly what he said. And I remember when he said it. And I remember all the stuff that I had to go through to get to this point. But guess what? Give me what is mine. And that's what the church has to do. God is calling this church to get
what is his. And that's this great harvest of all these lost souls that don't know Jesus Christ, just like you don't know Jesus Christ. And it's time for you to get up off of your blessed assurance, stop showing up on Sunday, and start doing what God is calling the church of the living God to do. Go get it. Go get it. It's yours. He said, I give the heathens to you as your inheritance. The heathens. Those who don't know Jesus. Those who are all spiked out. Those who got this and that. Those who are all tattooed out. The heathens. But it depends on how you're going to follow God. Listen to what he said. Give me the mountain which the Lord spoke in them days. For you heard in that day how the Amalekites was there. He's talking about the giants. And that the cities were great and fortified. That it may be that the Lord will be with me. And that I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave him Hebron. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as his inheritance. Hebron therefore came, the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day. Why? Because he wholeheartedly followed the God of Israel. See, the only reason why the victory came was because Joshua wholeheartedly followed God. They knew there was giants in the land. They knew there was a battle. Listen, church, we're in a spiritual war. Whether you like it or whether you don't, you're in a spiritual war. And the only way you're going to win is that every day of your life, you need to pick up this word and meditate on it day and night. Meditate on it day and night. Meditate, because you all know how to worry. Let me see the hands. Everybody know how to worry. Okay? You just meditating on the wrong thing. Okay? That's all he's saying. See, because when you meditate on this word, strength is going to come in. When you meditate on this word, power is going to come in. When you meditate on this word, okay, you're going to be able to do the things. God's going to enable you. He's going to empower you. See, because perish, he said, without a vision, the people perish. It means that you're going to go backwards. It means you're going to go back to the same old thing you used to be doing. The same life of defeat and failure. Why? Because you can't see yourself as God sees you. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone be in Christ, you are a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. You're a new creature, living in a new year. The only way you go backwards is if you want to go backwards, because God never goes backwards. He goes forward. Paul said, forgetting those things that are behind me and pressing forward to the things which are ahead, to the upward call of God, Christ Jesus, all right, and our Lord within Christ Jesus. Well, I had to steal a little something from Miss Kidney this morning. It said, don't be scared. Prepare. Don't be scared of the challenges that's in front of you or the things you're going to have to do. Prepare for them. Prepare, because you know I'm in a fight. Prepare. That's all it's going to take. After Joshua got the instructions, read this book of Joshua and keep on going. Because God told Joshua, tell the people to sanctify themselves. Verse chapter 3. Sanctify themselves. Clean themselves. Because you're going away that you never went before. You're going away that you never went before. That's why it feels uncomfortable. You're going away you never went before. That's why the struggle is so great. You're going away that you don't understand. That's why it's so much pressure. But guess what? Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, and they will not follow another. God's vision. Forget what man's vision is all about, and get hooked up with God's vision. Get hooked up with God's vision for your life. Everybody stand to their feet.